Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Ami, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Welcome to the show. I am so happy to have you back. And today we're going to chat all things cozy mysteries, and what it is all about. As many of you know, I started reading again in 2016 as a new romance reader. Before that, I was reading whatever latest new releases were, although I did skip Twilight. So we'll come back to that later on this fall. We're going to talk about that. But I was reading like latest releases from 50 Shades of Grey to The Divergent and Hunger Games to in the 2000s, early 2000s, I was reading British Chick Lit. That was the jam. And then in 2016, I discovered YouTube and I discovered the book community, and they were talking about new adult romance. And I was like, well, I used to work in a college. I was like about 4 or 5 years away from no longer working at college. And I was like, you know, this is kind of like just reminds me of my old job. It reminds me of my late teenage years. And so I started reading new adult romance, and I started with The Deal, The Hookup, Kristen Callahan. A lot of the books are now popular, have been popular for the past few years. I was reading them in 2016. And I lived my best life, and I was living off the Amazon algorithm telling me what I needed to read next. And it was great. I would just tell the Amazon algorithm never screwed me wrong. At least I was able to discover new to me authors. I was a huge Kindle Limited reader, and I found myself indulging in like, what did I miss for the past like 20 years? From 2012 to present has been a good time for romance, especially a good time for indie romances. And so I was loving it. And then I started this podcast and I tried out different things and different genres. And I went back to a little bit of mystery, a little bit of commercial fiction. What was popular? What was the New York Times bestseller? What the celebrity book club were saying? Early 2018 to 2019 were good years for the Reese Witherspoon. There were a couple episodes where I mentioned all the books that I read from her book club and I loved them. And there were misses. And so it shifted, and my reading has shifted over time. I discovered cozy mysteries by accident. I had a guest, I think it was Amy, we're friends. And so Amy came on the show to talk about cozy mysteries. And I was like, oh, I heard about it from friends. My friend Sarah, we're really into this, actually was mentioning, she's like, oh, I'm just reading cozy. And I was like, okay, this is kind of like random, but what is a cozy? And so I'll talk a little bit about the definition of cozy in a minute, but I was like, okay, like these just are cutesy little cute books, so you just cozy it up. So Amy came on the show and she shared about 5 cozies. And I was like, oh, these are interesting. Cozies are great for romance readers because most of the time they're set in a small town. It's very easy to read. There's no graphic. There's no gory. It has like quirky characters. It has the elements that we love, especially in small town romances. It's a similar elements with it. And so, and they have like, they're more plot driven than, you know, character driven stories. As a reader, I'm a plot driven story. I need a plot to move me forward. I need something to engage myself. I need something to understand what I wanted to see, what I wanted to escape from. I didn't want to hear the inner monologue of the character and trying to overcome the spaces. There are very few and far between books that I indulge where there's character-driven, there's character story. For the most part, I do really well with plot-driven stories where there's like action, adventure, there's something driving the character to move forward. And so, I don't know, I was like, and there are a couple of times, there were a couple of episodes, and I'll include them in the show notes of Cozy Mysteries, people who read cozies. And came on and gave recommendations. And I was like, oh, these are cute. Like, you know, we'll get to see. And so what happened is last year, I really struggled with reading. I went with big intentions. I was like, I'm going to read 300 books. And a lot changed last year. A lot of personal things changed. Before before May 2023, I was struggling with a low-grade depression. It was not clinically depressed, but I was depressed. The best way I can describe it was like I was just on a down, like not a downward spiral, but I was just like not feeling happy and I was not feeling at ease or content or joy. And so I was seeking, I was hyperfixating in areas outside of my life to fix what was inside, when I felt that it was wrong inside. At the end of the day, there's nothing wrong inside. It's just, you know, my body, the traumas and my body chemistry reflected that way. But at the time, I was just like hyperfixating. So the first month of the year, I listened to 30 books, but I would tell you, I don't remember half of those books. The quality of my reading was just like, it was just consuming for the sake of consuming. It was like a binge, like the best way to describe it. I was just binging on books and I felt like shit. And so I slowly eased my way out of it. I still read like 15 minutes a day, but I gave myself the break for not having to finish a book. I gave myself the break for me to give myself a break to try, give myself a break to explore other things. And this is part of my story. From late January till May, I went through EMDR therapy for my trauma. I have a traumatic childhood. And I spent those 3 months like on a weekly session, like staring at a dog and looking at my trauma. And as I can describe it, it was like, it felt like an overnight success because I had symptoms that are no longer symptoms. And I was actually seeing my life in a different lens and a different space. And I felt better. And with that, it came the idea, like, I don't have to binge on books. I don't have to binge on shit. It doesn't mean that I'm cured, because I'm not. I'm very aware of it. But it means I actually can give myself the break. I can give myself that my identity is not like I'm a romance reader and that's all I read. And my identity can be like, you know what? I'm a rereader and I just like follow my gut. And sometimes I just want to read magazines. And so long story short, I gave myself a breather. And over the summer, I started reading thrillers. I started reading like Freda McFadden, and I read quite a few of her books. I binged them back to back because I was like, oh my gosh, this is so great. And I was just like, well, maybe I'm supposed to be a mystery reader. Maybe I'm not supposed to be a romance reader because I'm like, men are trash. So men are not trash. Men are mostly trash. But I was like, maybe I can just have an opportunity to look at things a little bit different. And again, I'm just shedding the identity, shedding the idea like I have to make a decision. And one thing is my hyperfixation. It's just not. It is. So earlier this year, I was in a reading slump and I picked up A Cozy Mystery to Read. I asked Ali Bookshop around the corner or around the world. I think I'll put her link and her Cozy Mystery Guide on the show notes. I asked her, I was like, hey, I think I need to read Cozy Mysteries. Can you guide me something? And she had this great post on Instagram where it's like serious starters, staples, what you should read, which ones are more edgy, a little bit of everything. And it turns out that I read a couple more edgy books, like, you know, Dolly for Aunties and Finley Donovan. And so I was like, oh, I actually kind of like this stuff. So I decided, like, let's just give Cozy a try. So first things first, I want to actually talk about, like, what is a cozy mystery? Because I think it's something that you may not know. I asked ChatGPT, God bless, to tell me the description, definition of cozy mysteries. So cozy mysteries, also known as cozies, are a subgenre from crime fiction, characterized generally lighthearted tone and the absence of graphic violence, explicit content. They often take place in small, social, and intimate communities where everyone knows each other. And the sleuth is usually an amateur detective, not a professional law enforcement officer. Here are some common rules and characteristics that define a cozy mystery. The setting. So it takes place in a small town or a close-knit community. There are actually new millennial cozies are set up in bigger cities, but you'll notice that the setting is actually like a close-knit community. It's a city within a city. And I'll talk more about the ones that I'm sharing today, but there is something to be said about like feeling a neighborhood, feeling like a return to a cozy place. The protagonist, it really turns out to be an amateur sleuth. So it usually is a woman or maybe an older man. And there are a group of people. There's a Richard Osmonds or the grandfathers doing the murder club. So they usually have a hobby that puts them in contact with other members of the community and often brings them into conflict. So they can have like cute hobbies like beekeeper, and like they might be restaurant owners and bake shop owners, or they might have like own like a store, but they have something that connects them to the community. And it's a really fun thing to see all the professions, because it's like, oh, I did not realize there's more than that. There's more to the story. The tone and content. Cozies are known for light tone and focus on community and relationships over suspense and danger. So graphic violence, profanity, explicit sex scenes are notably absent in these stories. So it's a pretty, like, the idea is like a very cozy vibe. So you're actually connecting to like the vibe. Like you feel cozy. You feel like you're not going to have nightmares. So essentially you can read Cozy Mysteries at night and you're not going to have nightmares about the stories. And the resolution. So the resolution to the mystery typically resolves social order to the community. It all resolves itself. So it just always going to be resolution. And in the resolution, no one's going to die because of the resolution. Because that's actually, I think I talked about in another episode, that my biggest pet peeve is they kill a member of a main character or a character of some sort at the last chapter, and there's no time to grieve. Like, no, we don't get that. So, and then there's the themes and motives. So, like, you know, common themes include the value of community or the importance of trust. Motives include foods, craft, books, gentle passions, and interest and protagonist in the reader. So, there's knitting. There's like whatever hobby you want to explore. There's chances are just a cozy mystery for that. These elements combine to give the cozy mysteries and distinct and comforting feel, making them beloved by readers who enjoy crime stories but prefer not to get the greater aspects of the genre. So that's what makes it a cozy mystery. It's a cozy environment. It's a cozy thing. You're actually having hobbies, having other life. And it has this plot-driven, this story, the B-list story that tells you there's a murder and we got to resolve it. And that's the point. So in this episode, I am going to talk about five cozy mysteries that are considered millennial cozy mysteries. And what makes them millennial is that they're set in bigger cities. They're not the typical small town that we just created. These are cities like includes Chicago, Brooklyn, Denver, Nova, and Portland. And Cleveland. So we had a few more. So it's about 6 or 7 recommendations that I have for you. So the whole point is that we'll have big city cozy mysteries. These are more diverse. So you'll see actually characters from other cultures or other ethnicity or their race. They're much more in tune with today's society. Because I've read some of the old cozy mysteries, some of the staples, and I was like, ooh, this doesn't make sense in 2024. This is problematic, but these ones are less problematic. So that's like the theme that we're talking about. It's a millennial cozy mysteries. A lot of these are series starters. I've been reading the first book of the series for me to figure out, to get a sense of the sleuth and get the sense of like, what is the real problem? As the series continues, most of these series have like multiple books, 3 to 4, 20 books, 30 books long. And the slew will have multiple murders to solve. And the stories continue. But I think the series starters are a great place to connect with the reader to see if you like this person, do you want to continue, be their friend, and see them through for the rest of the stories. There's been a few series that I want to continue, and there's a couple series that I'm like, maybe I'm just like glad it's a one and done. But a lot of these are great series to get started. So, all right, let's get to the recommendations. The first one is Killer Content by Olivia Black. This book is set in Brooklyn. It's a Southern girl whose aunt is actually on traveling to Europe. Her aunt is an artist, but she's rich because she has like this really nice like 2-bedroom apartment in Williamsburg with a pool. And it's just like, what are you talking about? And so she's basically cat sitting in this beautiful apartment with a pool. And she decides that she needs to make some extra money. So she gets a job at working a coffee shop, bookstore, hipster place where they go. And while she was working on the shop, one of her coworkers took a break and went to the Domino Park, which is a park nearby, and she's killed. And the way she gets killed is basically she gets pushed out of like a hill while there was a flash mob. And they were like, there's no flash mobs at this time. And the coworker was an influencer, so there was like a whole lot of sleuthing. So basically, our Southern girl, our amateur Slith is basically girl out of, you know, girl out of the fishbowl, basically trying to figure out her way in the world in New York City, which is not a really cozy place to have a cozy mystery. And so people are like questioning her, like, why are you having this question? Why are you having this stuff? And it's like very New Yorker. It's a clash of the New Yorker and the Southern charm. It's delightful. I read it. I read the first half and then I listened to the other half. The audiobook is delightful. I think it's a really good place to go if you're not fully on board with cozy mysteries, with the small town and the cute, quirky characters. I think this is a good entry point and it's set in Brooklyn. So God bless it. And it did not bother me. As you may know, I used to live in New York. And a lot of times when authors write about New York, I get bogged down about the details because it's not the same to travel to New York as to live in New York. And there's a lot of nuances that happen. And this one, the Brooklyn reference did not bug me. I was like, okay, you know, obviously suspend this belief that she's apartment sitting in this fabulous apartment in Williamsburg for her aunt who happens to be an artist. But other than that, it was delightful. So, all right. The next one is actually, it's book 4 of a series. The author was on the podcast and I'll link it to the show notes. It's Miaman and Salah's Murder Manon. This is the Tita's Kitchen series. And basically, it's a Filipino-run restaurant, small town, with a couple families still battling together. It's set in a suburb outside of Chicago, but they get to go to Chicago every so often. So you get a little bit of feel of like suburbs, but still like close to the city. In this case, I read the 4th book, and I would recommend going back to the start of the first of the series, because there's a lot of different characters, a lot of different stories that we learn from the earlier books. But as a 4th book, it was delightful. It was a good place to start for me to understand like the dynamics and do I like this? I want to go back to. In this case, this mystery, the Murder Manon is basically Murder Manon. In this case, it's about a cousin who comes from the Philippines and she is like spoiled brat and she's been told she needs to work in the family business. And there's aunties who happen to have a laundromat and they're about to launch it. And somehow the cousin gets murdered. And we got to figure out what is happening. And so there's a lot of sleuthing. There's a lot of like connections to the Filipino family and understand like what happened and all the different things. And this meddling grannies and meddling aunties and on the whole world. So it is a fun one. It has cute dogs and all the fun things. So I would definitely recommend. And if you like Chicago, this is a Chicago one. So, all right. The next one is The Diva Runs Out of Time by Krista Davis. This one is set in Northern Virginia. I think it's Alexandria, Arlington, one of those cities. I lived in those three, the first three places. I lived in Brooklyn. I live in Bensonhurst. I did not live in Williamsburg, but I lived in New York for a long time. And I'm familiar with Williamsburg. I live in Chicago, as you know. But I also live in Northern Virginia. I live in actually in Maryland when back in 2003. I was going to say 20 something. It's 2003 to 2006. So back in the day, almost 20 years ago, I lived in there. And so, but in this case, The Diva Runs Out of Time, the first book in the series, is set in Thanksgiving. So if you're looking for a Thanksgiving book, this might be it. It's a chef competition between a bunch of Martha Stewart's wannabe. They're very domesticated. They want to have like the best food. They have like, they're priving themselves for different things and all this like, you know, elaborate like Martha Stewart thing. So it does have Martha Stewart vibes. There's meddling family. It's family's houses. It's just, you know, if you enjoy Tradwife content, if you enjoy, you know, Nara Smith content of like, you know, things from scratch, I think The Diva Runs Out of Time is probably for you. So, yeah. All right. The next one is Fresh Brew Murder by Emmeline Duncan. It's set in Portland. And this one's about coffee food trucks mystery set in Portland. Our sleuth, it has some family baggage, like legit family baggage from her mom, who may be a con artist and maybe on the run. And someone got murdered in the setting where the coffee shop truck is. And there's like a lot of mystery about that. There's like a runaway kids happening. It's set in this idea of food trucks and food trucks competition. it's fun. It was a good one. I enjoyed this in audio. I listened to this audio while I was actually having insomnia, and this was a pleasant experience to spend the night with. So if you're looking for like a quick audio, you can get it from the library. Fresh Bear Murder might be the good place to go. The next one is Death by Dumpling by Vivian Chin. It's set in Cleveland. And this one's set in an Asian village, which is basically a set of restaurants and supermarkets and stores set in Asian village. And so the characters are set within a set kind of deal. In this case, the owner of Asian village is dead, dies after eating a shrimp dumpling from the food's actually restaurant. She is the daughter of the restaurant owners, and she's down on her luck. It's just she's waitressing at her parents' restaurant, and she's part of she delivered the food to the owner and he died. And she's trying to figure out like how to clear her parents from the murder, because they're just like trying to figure out what happened and try to figure like, and there's all these Asian community meddling, trying to figure out like what happened, who's gonna own the Asian village. And it's delightful. This was just so much fun to read. So it was really fun. So I definitely encourage you to read Death by Dumpling. And there's multiple books in the series, so you have plenty to go for. And finally, Killer Chardonnay by Kate Lansing. This one's set in Boulder or Denver. It's one of those, I think it's cities in Colorado. In this case, the sleuth owns a wine shop that she just opened. She just left her job and she's put her dream in creating a wine shop and creating actually a winery of different like wines that she wants to do. And on her first day when the store opening, she had a food critic come into the store and he was poisoned by one of the wine. And dies at the store opening. So there's a lot of drama, like what happened, what's gonna go on. And it is fun. It is a fun one. There's a little romance with a chef. And it's like, I don't know. I was like, yes, chef, you know. So it's a fun one to listen to. So I encourage it to do. If you're looking to listen to or borrow cozy mysteries, if you're thinking about doing, like you want to jump into it and your library doesn't have them, I encourage you to get a non-resident library card for Stark Library. It's STARK Library, which is in Ohio. The cost is $50 a year. They have the best cozy mystery catalog. I cannot tell you enough. There's no wait because people are not looking for them. So there's no wait. It's actually, they have audios and they have ebooks. It's easy to get. They have a great catalog of, an extensive catalog of cozy mysteries. So that's a tip if you want to go on a budget. A few tips if you're an insomniac like myself who doesn't sleep, I would say it's okay to put an audiobook on a cozy mystery and listen to it. They're kind of like cozy. I know I say cozy overextensive. But they just feel like this like sense of comfort. It's not gory, so you're not going to get nightmares. And it's not too sexy that you're going to be like, okay, having like weird dreams. It's just this sense of like you're just immersed in this world where things are going to get resolved. Things are going to be fine. It's the thing that I love about romance, which is the HEA. It's the same idea for cozy mysteries. Everything's going to get resolved no matter how big the problem is. Is going to resolve. And there's not a lot of trauma. There's not a lot of like jumping. It's pretty like a joyful ride with a side of murder. So cozy mysteries are the way to go. And yeah, so I'll be coming back in a couple weeks with another cozy mystery episode because I've been binging on them and I've got to talk to somebody about them. So we'll be coming back with small town cozy mysteries and we got a couple more and actually we'll do historicals. And if you have suggestions for cozy mystery content that you would like me to do, send me an email at laura@butcherynextblock.com and I'll be more than happy to look for it. So I hope you have a great day. Thank you so much for listening. Happy reading. Thanks for joining me on this episode of the What to Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the What to Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.